Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who has just found out that his daughter created the Muppets. It's Richard Herring! Yo, yo, hello, thank you. Thank you very much. Happy Christmas! Yeah. Welcome to... Welcome. We work all the time here, we work... No weeks off. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was talking to the fake Paul McCartney the other day. He's the original one died in a car crash in 1963, and this guy was drafted. He was lucky. They rang him up and said, "Oh, Paul McCartney's just died. Will you look a bit like him? Will you come and be in the Beatles?" He said, "Yeah, I've got nothing else on." He calls it Rahel Estaba, so I don't know if you don't know how that's going to catch on. Yeah, my daughter is now 2¾ and started to lie. It's great. I was with my daughter the other day playing in a room, and there were some pictures on the floor that we're going to hang in the walls there of all the Muppets, little cartoon drawings of all the Muppets, and she pointed one and said, "I painted that." I said, "Dear, that's really, it's amazing. I've seen a lot of her paintings. They're generally not that good." It was like Grover or someone. It was a really good... Then she said another, "I painted that as well." So that's good. There was a picture of her, a photo of her and her grandma together, her great-grandma together. She said, "I painted that as well." That is very photorealistic. That is, you've done an amazing... But I thought maybe she did. You know, I suddenly wondered, what if she could be the reincarnation of Jim Henson, couldn't she? That could be his... Yeah, I made that up. That's what I'm going to go for. I'm hoping to make some money from her as the creator of the Muppets. She started nursery, and she got her face painted like a tiger the other day. Came home with her face painted like a tiger and really loved it, and we had to wash it off, and she cried for ages. And the only way we could stop her crying was then we'd buy some face paints and do it. And she's now living as a tiger. That is how she... And in this day and age, she identifies as a tiger, and you're not allowed to say, "No, you're not a tiger." We have to carry on. I've actually wear this T-shirt in order to convince her she is a tiger. And she's... Let's see how that goes. I was playing Bristol last night. Oh, sorry, back on the International Men's Day in November, the 19th of November. And I won't play the Colston Hall in Bristol, because the Colston Hall, you may know, is... it's not because it's way too big for me. It's because it's... named after a slave owner, and I don't approve of that, so that's an awful thing. I played the Old Vic, but I discovered last night that is named after an 18th century paedophile, so it was celebrated for a while. The things have changed. Old Vic. Yeah, he fucks kids, but he's all right. It was a different time. Good. I didn't know if that joke would work in London, but it went very well in Bristol, so I thought I'd try again. Okay, so we're going to crack straight on. My first guest, I mean, sorry, the guest this week is... He's probably best known... I was going to choose him as being best known as Heat Magazine Weirdest Crush 2011, but I went back and checked the first time he was on, and that's how I introduced him last time. He's probably best known as the executive producer of Ban This Filth. That's why we're all here. Take him to task over that. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Richard Osman! Welcome. Thank you very much. Come sit down. Make yourself at home.
Thank you. I haven't thought about Ban This Filth for a while.
Have you not? Can you tell me about it? I don't remember Ban This
Filth. Do not remember it? It was on Channel 4, and it was three pensioners. They were all over 80. And it was like Eurotrash. They had to introduce sort of vaguely pornographic kind of stories from around Europe as if they were concerned citizens. They would have to say, and look, this is awful. This is a film about a woman pretending her car has broken down. And I must renew my AA membership. It was the only show I've ever done where one of the presenters fell asleep during filming, actually on camera.
Wow.
Pamela.
It could happen tonight.
Yeah.
I thought you could say one of the presenters died during... So the only show I've done where one of the people in it died of natural causes during the course... Of the show. No, okay, fair enough. So, it's lovely to have you back.
It's lovely to be back.
I saw my mum yesterday when I was in.
Oh, Chile. Yeah.
You were quite rude.
I saw your mum. When was it? Tuesday. Is she all right?
Yeah, she's fine.
Yeah, she was a little. Yeah. Yeah.
My dad isn't able to walk at the moment, so I don't know if you had anything to do with that. Genuinely.
Listen, I'm a metrosexual. What can I tell you?
He's got a little bed set up in the lounge. He's had an operation on his leg. He's a very old man. So, get well soon, Dad. I just made loads of jokes about how this would be the last time I saw him, but I've been making those jokes since I was 14. So.
One day they'll pay off.
They will, one day. And I'll be done. Yeah. Yes!
I knew that would work.
I'm like Nostradamus. Last time we were on, we were talking about Two Tribes, and I sang you a version of the theme tune for Two Tribes that you did not use, I noticed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I presume, because you're with Avalon, aren't you? I assume they asked for too much money.
Well, I don't know. But, Two Tribes isn't on anymore.
No, so correct.
Just... Maybe if you use my theme tune.
Yeah, and that's interesting, because I'm just thinking of all the other big hits that you've done the theme tune to. I'm thinking of your theme tune to Bake Off.
Yeah. It's good. It's a load of people in a tent. They're all baking cakes. It's a lot of fun. There's Mel and Sue. Oh, no, it's Noel and Sandy Toxfig. It's all changed around.
You're all right. You're a modern-day Dennis Walker. <Yeah. laughs>
I was going to ask you if you want me to do a theme tune to House of Games.
Yes, please.
Yeah, okay.
I think there's an easy one.
It's House of Games. There's a house and it's got games in it. I've only seen one episode, so I can't really talk about what it's about. It was a while ago. It seemed quite good, though. You could win a onesie.
That's really good. I'll say this, it's better than your Two Tribes one.
Okay. Well, if you use that in, I think you might have a hit on your hands. So House of Games, it's sort of your copy of Taskmaster. You've seen Taskmaster and copied Taskmaster.
I have seen Taskmaster. No, that's interesting.
Have you been in Taskmaster?
I was in Taskmaster. This is what I was talking to Alex Horn about this the other day. It's interesting how telly works sometimes, because to sell a show, it has to be a bit like two other shows that are successful, is the truth. And for a long time, I've tried to sell a show which is the same people come back and do a quiz against each other, and they come back all week. And everyone's always said, no, you can't. You can't have the same people. It's got to be different people, because people won't want to watch the same people. It has to be different people. You can't. No, people won't have that. Because think of all the hit shows. It's always different people. So, and then as soon as Taskmaster comes out, you know, on Dave, who are very good at sort of doing different things, you can go in and say, oh, you know that quiz I was talking about? But well, I tell you what happens. People come back on and they go, oh, I go, you know, like in Taskmaster. And they go, hold on a minute, like in Taskmaster, you say. And you get a commission. So I did thank Alex for that. But it's, yeah, it's a weird one. They always have to tick. It's like with any commercial endeavor. You have to tick two different boxes that have been successful in other genres. And you can sell it.
But then someone has to take the punt, don't they, on the first one to do it. You'd think you'd always want to be the person who takes the punt on the thing that becomes...
Well, my granddad always used to say to me as a policeman, he always used to say, if you're called to a fight in a pub, make sure you're second through the door. That was his... and that's been my creative credo.
It's true, because you copied Family Fortunes, that is pointless.
Yeah.
And you copied...
Just true.
Turned it round.
Yeah.
It's good. I've been on Pointless twice since I think we last spoke to you.
You have, haven't you?
I can't remember if I've won a Pointless trophy yet.
Yeah. We should edit together all of your performances in all the episodes of Pointless and just so we could stick that out as a little 14-second YouTube clip, couldn't
we? You're very rude to me on the third time I was on Pointless. I've got one question wrong in the whole time I've been on Pointless. Yeah. Admittedly, it was the first one. I was forced into it.
Yeah.
It was an educated gamble.
Yeah. Well, you say educated.
I had lots of answers. Since then, I've had a Pointless answer. I've been let down by my partners all the time. My wife was my final partner.
Yeah.
And actually, someone tweeted saying it's like you're playing Pointless and your wife is playing Family Fortunes. That was basically, we'd go on, she'd give the highest possible answer and I'd have to come in with a low answer. It was very exciting, the last one.
Yeah.
It was beaten by Wolfie, Robert Lindsay from Citizen Smith.
He's a good person to be beaten by, isn't he?
Yeah, it was all right. And his daughter was the real brains behind that. We could spend a lot of time talking about it, and we're going to. took the Osmonds out. The Osmond brothers destroyed them. The Osmond brothers were amazing on that, because one of them would, as we'd go through, my wife would give a high answer, I'd think, oh, we're going home. One of the Osmonds would give a terrible answer, an answer that didn't make... There was like he'd been given the answers to a different question.
Yeah.
And then the other, you think, oh, we're going to be all right. And then the other Osmond, and it was a different one each time, would come in with a brilliant answer that made me think, oh, fuck, I'm going home.
There it is. Yeah, that's Osmonds for you. Yeah. What can I tell you? There's a lot of them. We've had Jimmy Osmond on a few times. He really looks like my cousin Steve. I mean, he really looks like him. And I know our names are spelt differently, but there's some family connection there.
Yeah.
At least a cousin Steve.
Yeah.
I was at my dad's funeral last year. Sorry to bring that up. It's all right.
I feel bad about joking about my dad dying. If I'd known your dad was dead, I wouldn't have made a joke about my dad. My living dad being...
Statistically, I was like, yeah. So your dad's just... He's in a bed in the living room. I wish my dad was. Yeah, well, I wouldn't give for one more day.
Neither of our dads can walk very well. That is, so let's look at what we've got in common.
Some truth in that. No, that's not. It's an estranged side of the family, so it wasn't. We weren't particularly close. But yeah, my cousin Steve gets up and does this oration, and I think, geez, you are little Jimmy Osmond, the spit, the absolute spit of the guy.
Is he the spit of little Jimmy Osmond, or is he the spit of
Jimmy Osmond? To be fair, he's the spit of the older. Yeah, the middle-aged Jimmy Osmond.
Yeah.
To be fair,
I find that it's weird when people who were famous when their children grow. So like David Cassidy sadly died back in November, you'll remember. You're coming, how can he be dead? He's only 15.
I didn't read that he had died back. Did that happen on roughly around the 19th?
It was roughly around there.
I didn't know that.
But it's kind of weird. He was like 67 or some 72 or something. It doesn't seem possible that he could be. How could he be young?
Yeah, and then old.
And then old. How did that?
That's weird.
It is weird.
That's like when I watched Pointless on Challenge. You see, I sort of going to exist in this like sort of Doctor Who universe for years now.
It's very successful. Was it your 2000th episode or 1000th episode that you swapped over roles?
Oh, swapped over on the 1000th episode.
1000 episodes is incredible. Did you enjoy doing the other job?
Yes, I did enjoy it. It's really, I give Xander a lot of stick because I think what he does is easy. And it turns out it's quite difficult because he's so effortlessly charming. And I kept thinking, well, I've seen you do this 1,000 times, mate. I know how to go, good evening, welcome to Pointless. I'm Richard Osman, this show where the lowest scorers are the biggest winners. Let's meet today's players. That's fucking easy.
Yeah.
But then I very quickly forgot to go, oh, you know, it's the second pass, but the second, what do you say? What is it you say? So I liked it for an episode. It was nice to stretch my legs.
Do you think you would have done 1,000 episodes if you'd cast it the other way around?
Christ, no. Can you imagine? Well, he was pretty rubbish at what I do as well, to be fair. We were both equally bad at each other's jobs. That's the nice thing.
Yeah. It's a good show, Pointless.
Thank you.
How many times do you think someone can go on it and not win before it's sort of embarrassing that they...
Well, what, before it's embarrassing?
Yeah.
I would say once. Statistic, it'd be interesting to see. Yeah. There's only one way to find out, yeah. I guess.
Can you keep it going? I think you should keep the series going until I win. I can be like the Ravens in the Tower of London. If I actually win one, then you have to stop.
Well, put it this way. Jedward won on their third appearance. You know.
Well, I'd have won if I'd been on with Jedward. Either of the two of Jedwards, that would have been fine. Would you think of taking it to Channel 4 and spending more money on it and doing
Pointless.
A bake-off? Yeah, do
no. No, that wouldn't be for me. I support Love Productions taking Bake Off to Channel 4. I buy that 100% because, you know, they sweated blood over that show and it's their show and they invented it and you've got to make as much money as possible out of something and, you know, it's got a limited shelf life. But Pointless, I think, you know, it's an unusual, it's a very weird little British little show and I think the BBC have been so amazing with it and have looked after it and have looked after us and keep promoting us bit by bit and let us be ourselves all the way through. I think we would have too much loyalty because I'm the presenter and the producer.
Yeah.
You would have to persuade both the presenter and the producer to take it. So the producer would take it in a heartbeat, but the presenter, I think, would stay on the BBC.
It's complicated, isn't it? And if Alexander Armstrong were to die...
Yes. I mean, listen, it's going to happen at some point.
We
must all prepare ourselves for that eventuality.
Would you recast his... I would be available.
In a heartbeat, I would recast him. Listen, it'd be lovely to have you there. There is a slight cue.
Right.
Sue Barker is my first choice as host. I think that'd be nice. You'd bring a nice, refreshing kind of... Sue Barker, then Chico, then you.
Okay. Good to know. This could be a movie where I kill Sue Barker and
Chico
and Alexander Armstrong.
Oh, wow.
to find my rightful place. As a presenter, do you get a free Pointless trophy or are you not allowed to have
one? I do have a Pointless trophy. I got a Pointless trophy and there was a special 1,000th episode Pointless trophy as well, which I have at some point, which at some, you know, if I ever need to, you know, if I ever get a big tax bill or something.
Yeah.
Then before I go on Dancing on Ice, I'll sell that.
I think if
can you imagine going on Dancing on Ice? By the way, what would be your least favourite reality show?
Dancing on Ice would be. I'm terrible. I hate skating and I can't do it. My wife's made me do a lot of things on dangerous surfaces that make me think she might be trying to get rid of me. She made me go skiing, which I didn't like, and she made me go ice skating, which I just couldn't do.
Yeah,
I did it when I was 15, but I had to walk around the edge, and I was still having a terrible, terrible time.
If they rang up your agent and say, but 125 grand?
I don't think I would. You know, money's not that important to
175
me.
Grand.
180 grand? I thought this...
There'd come a point, right?
There might come a point. I don't know if I would. I think...
190.
But it opens you up to a whole different world. You know, changes who you are, doesn't it? And then you become... Then you're a celebrity. I've done Pointless celebrities. I don't think anyone's... That doesn't really count. I was in a boat race. I did a boat race.
Oh, you did
reality
that, did you?
Show.
Okay.
Which, you know, but again, I kind of worked out that there's so many people in that you'll be able to sort of hide at the back.
Yeah, you hide away.
I wouldn't like to do the jungle and all. I've been sort of approached.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah.
I don't mind. I'd like to eat all the stuff, but just on my own without being filmed. I'd like to do my celebrity get me out of here, but not film it.
I was watching it last night, and they said, "Oh, you're going if you don't have the food, you're going to have rice and beans." You just thought, yeah. I don't mind that. Sit and chat to Stanley Johnson, have some rice and beans, talk to Amir Khan about what it's like to be a boxer.
Yeah.
I don't mind that.
I mean, I could do with the losing weight, so I'd be happy. I'd be happy to. You get free penises, don't you? As many you eat, as many penises.
Oh, as many penises as you want. I tell you what, yeah. Like mother, like son.
I asked her, do you want to make a comment? A past comment. She didn't. She rose above it.
Yeah, a bit, yeah.
I should film her at the beginning. Oh, dear. Poor old mum. So you've written this fact with this is the battle of the Christmas books that are also yours is a much more professionally produced than mine, I have to say. These are the two. I don't know if you can spot which one's written by someone off the telly and which one's a bloke who's printed it himself. But this is your World Cup of Everything, which is you've been doing online. In fact, I read in the book that you've been doing this since you were a child on your own. Is that correct?
I did. I recall, yeah, the first one I ever did was I did a World Cup of Bands, and tell you how long ago it was. The final was Spandau Ballet versus Culture Club. So that must have been, I was think 82
they'd still
or
be
something?
In the final. They'd still make the final.
That'd be close, right? Yeah, and I was the only voter in that. No, yeah, something I do online for charity, and I just thought people always, you know, you run these things and you say what's the best chocolate bar, which we will get onto, and you know you get 2 million votes and there's all this kind of stuff, and at the end you get the winner and people go nope. You know, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say. I mean, this has been the whole point of the thing. So I thought, so in this, I've done loads of different World Cups that you can just do at home, and I've drawn little wall charts, and there's that you can do World Cup of chocolate, there's biscuits, there's British bands, there's sitcoms, and it's just to argue about at Christmas. But yeah, so you cannot, once you've done that, you can't then argue.
Yeah.
You know, because you had your own World Cup winner.
Well, it's a lot of fun. And what I like, I'm going to have to read a book for this show, and it's quite hard work because people have written like a proper book.
Can you imagine?
But this is just a load of rubbish put together. It's really easy to.
It's entertaining,
it's
rubbish.
It's very entertaining. To be honest, I could talk to you about it all day, because the chocolates one, which is, you know, what I think what I first saw on Twitter when you were doing it is an amazingly contentious thing, but it does feel like I want to take this to my Christmas and play this at Christmas dinner. I was saying to you backstage, which I know is impossible, the book should come with a selection box where all the chocolate manufacturers, just like it's Christmas, it's like the Armistice Day football match, they all just say, hey, we're all the same,
if you're going to buy the book, then you could as an extra, you could buy the chocolate as well. Yeah. That would be a nice gift.
Yeah, it'd be nice to just have it in a big box, a massive box with your face on it, just covered in chocolate.
I don't know. I think that would be more off-putting in some ways. But also, you'd charge like twice as much for that. Well, just buy it all yourself and stick it in the Tesco's bag.
But you have to
then sellotape around the Tesco's bag.
Yeah, for 15 and 16, you have to choose two of your own, which is a nice touch.
Thanks.
But that makes it hard to buy them in advance, doesn't it? Because you have to decide between the lot of you which are the 15
and 16. I guess so. But, you know, you could be prescriptive. Yeah, and all of them, there's like 32, but I've left a couple of spaces because people always say, oh, I can't believe you didn't have spicy tomato snaps in the World Cup. But, like, they're going to get past the first round. I left a couple of gaps so your family's favourite can go in there.
Would you do a World Cup of which chocolate bars are best to put up your anus?
Gosh, I've been asked that a lot. I don't think I would, but no. I guess a Drifter. I'm trying to think of something that's narrow but would has some structural integrity.
Yeah. It's good to know.
You know what I mean?
I knew you'd be the man to ask.
Yeah. But yeah, that's, yeah, anything, yeah, you wouldn't want anything.
Yeah. Drifter's was an odd name for a chocolate bar.
Yeah, so you might, yeah, it's like Hobo.
It's either got like the connotations of like a sort of floating piece of feces, or a dead homeless person,
a little bit
that you've murdered and turned into chocolate.
Yeah, I wonder what they're thinking behind that. I always think Brexit would be a good name for a chocolate bar.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be, but it'd have two fingers. It's up to you what to do with them.
Yeah, it would definitely win my World Cup. So I like the fact you don't like Twix. I think Twix is the most average chocolate bar.
Yeah, it's not even a chocolate bar, in my opinion.
No.
It's a biscuit.
Well, you don't like bars that just have a very light coating of chocolate on them.
Well, no, because what is that? Yeah. That is, you know, that's essentially, we were talking backstage with Ben, your producer, about Toffee Crisps.
Yeah.
Which have come on. I mean, there's so little chocolate on a Toffee Crisp. I think it's fucking outrageous.
It is.
They are in there, Toffee Crisps, so you can vote for them, but I wouldn't be voting for them.
There's it's not just the game, because you've got lots of facts and lots of quizzes and extra stuff. Mm-hmm. So I was playing on my own, and it's a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to play Christmas. I didn't know that Dairy Milk was originally going to be called Highland Milk.
Yeah.
And then someone decided to call it Dairy Milk, which I think suddenly makes me suspicious of it, because all milk's dairy milk, isn't it?
Almond milk and stuff isn't.
Is what milk isn't?
Almond milk, soy milk. People who are dairy intolerant. But the worst thing about that is they say in their adverts a glass and a half in every bar.
Yeah.
You think, yeah, but how big is the glass? That's literally meaningless.
It's like when they say you've got to drink 8 glasses of water a day. How much is that? Yeah, just tell me how much water I've got to drink.
Exactly.
It's just, you've got to do it. As long as you do it 8 times, whatever quantity is, it's going to be fine.
What do you think the best chocolate bar is?
I think, I'm slightly with you, I got very obsessed with Twirls. I like all of the family of Twirls, which again, I would like to see a pack come out that is one Twirl, one Flake and one Ripple, just in one pack, and you open them up. Again, it means some chocolate manufacturers coming together, settling their differences.
I like that with Maltesers and Minstrels, which I think I'd love to see them come together, just have one pack. But it's you can't cross the streams, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's like Marvel and DC coming together. I don't think you can do it.
But you could buy one of each and just put them in a bowl.
You could, but what's the point in that? But you know, I mean, that you could sort of say that about anything.
Yeah.
You know, why do you go to a restaurant when you could just buy a steak and buy some chips and cook it at home? Because you can do any of those things, but what if someone's done it for you and you see it in a shop?
Nice.
And then because the actual act of buying it triggers your pleasure centres.
Yeah. Okay. I like this book as well because I am name-checked in this book. So if other authors were as good, I'd spend a lot of time talking about their books.
Okay.
On page 34, here are some clues to famous people all of whom have an animal somewhere in their name. Name the famous people, please, in a quiz I'm calling The Weakest Mink. Hosted by Kat Deely and Richard Herring.
There you go.
I would love to. I accept the job if that comes up. I'd just quite like to hang around with Kat Deely, to be honest.
She's kind of big in LA now.
Yeah, she is,
isn't she?
Yeah.
It's interesting. Some people, when they disappear, it's because they've disappeared.
Yeah.
And some people, when they disappear, it's because they're massive in America and you don't know.
And she does look like a cat, doesn't she? She's got a cat-like face.
I don't know. To me, she looks like a woman.
Okay. It's cat-like.
But that, you know, listen, that's my eyesight is not great. So it's, listen, possibly you're right.
Yeah, I'm in loads of books.
I'm in loads of books.
I'm in Bridget Jones's Diary.
No way.
And that's a fictional book, and I'm in it.
What's your
Bridget Jones comes to Edinburgh?
Yeah.
And she comes to see my show in Edinburgh that I was doing the year she wrote. I presume Helen Fielding came to see my show. It was an odd, even at the time, it was an odd person to choose because it was 1993 or something and we hadn't even been on TV.
Did she review it in the book at all?
No, she didn't, luckily.
No, but that's a bad sign because if she liked it, she would have gone, and it was amazing.
That's true.
But she's too nice to kind of go, yeah, you know what? Yeah. Needed work.
Yeah. But then I auditioned to be in Bridget Jones, the Bridget Jones's Baby, the movie, and I didn't get the part. I should have gone in with the book and said, you have to. I'm in the book. Someone else played me. No, it was.
Do you have to do auditions? I didn't even know you acted.
Yeah, no. Well, I have to do. I've tried to audition for a few things.
Okay.
And not for very. I mean, there were terrible parts. I was nearly in Sherlock as an angry man.
Oh, really?
Annoyed man. I can't even remember what he was. But then I saw the episode of Sherlock, and the characters, you don't even see the bloke saying it. It seemed like something that wasn't worth going in for an audition for, I have to say. I should.
If they do a remake of Slumdog Millionaire, but the plot is someone whose entire life story means he gets everything wrong, you'd be a shoo-in. Like, every question, there's a reason, like something happened in his life where he missed that particular episode of something. Or he's in a relationship with someone, honestly, and she hated Friends, so I never watched it. That's a good idea for a film.
Yeah. I could have been in. I was nearly in Pointless this week. They rang me up again. It was the last time I was on. I was rung up because John Stapleton and Lynn Folds Wood had pulled out at the last minute, which I think shows where I am in the celebrity firmament. And I don't know who pulled out this time, but at the last minute I was in Manchester and I couldn't do it. So that I could have technically made it, but they told me I'd be teamed up with Helen Lederer, and I decided that I would lose if I was teamed up with Helen Lederer. So I said I wasn't available. We'll and see whether I made the right choice or not when Helen Lederer is on Point and Celebrities.
We will. I'm not allowed to say.
But imagine if she'd been teamed up with me. It couldn't have worked out. Could it? So good. Well, it's a fantastic book. I think, but it's not as good as Christmas Emergency Questions.
No, absolutely. Look, I accept that.
Question. Look, this is
again. Always be second through the door.
You've got some emergency questions here near the front, actually, Paige.
Oh, have I?
Well, they would work as emergency questions that you answer within the book. So,
okay.
I can't remember where they were. They were quite early
are they
on.
In the introduction?
They are, but I can't find them now. Is it before that bit? I don't know. World Cup every introduction. I think it was page 4. Here they are. I'll ask you some of the questions okay. You ask. Who or what is the Nando in Nando's?
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to find out, you have to buy the book.
Okay. Is he going to say that to all of these?
But no, he was a sound engineer called Fernando who went out for chicken in Johannesburg into a Mozambican chicken joint in Johannesburg. Right. And that's where Nando's comes from.
Oh. And Nando is four Nando's. Fernando's.
Fernando, exactly. Yeah. And Piri Piri sauce is Mozambican. It's Portuguese because Mozambique is a Portuguese colony. Honestly, it's full of stuff like that. Yeah. It's fascinating.
And our wagon, you don't have to answer them all now. Are wagon wheels really smaller than they used to be? That's a good emergency question.
I can't
they
remember,
are.
But
they're
thinner. There's a dimension thing. In Australia, they're the same.
Are they?
But over here, the diameter is smaller, but they're thicker.
Oh, okay.
So they're actually the same weight.
And on the back, it says there's a question. Oh no, maybe it's here. I can answer this question. What sitcom first used the title Only Fools and Horses? It was Only Fools and Horses.
It wasn't.
It was because it was first called Only Fools and Horses, so it was called Only Fools and Horses.
It was the title of an episode of another sitcom.
Oh, was it?
Which has already been mentioned. Starring your nemesis, Robert Lindsay.
Robert Lindsay, Citizen Smith.
Yeah, it was an episode of Citizen Smith, written by John Sullivan, of course.
Of course, yeah. Good.
So he nicked it off himself, which is okay.
That's allowed. Good. You played a removal man in Drop the Dead Donkey, is that true?
That is true, yeah.
Did you?
I was in the last ever scene of Drop the Dead Donkey.
Were you?
Only because that's written by Andy Hamilton and Guy Jenkin, and Guy Jenkin is my height.
Right.
And the very last scene, they're clearing out the offices of the newsroom, and Guy wanted to be one of the removal men, and he needed someone as tall as him to take the other end of the table. And I was the only person who was as tall as Guy Jenkin. So, yeah,
that would have been fun of him. I mean, Guy Jenkin and Andy Hamilton.
Andy, yeah.
That would have been... That would have been an awesome end
yeah,
to the
series. Yeah, that suit. Would have been good. So, yeah, I am. Yeah, I was in that. Yeah,
is that the only... You've done little bits of acting as sort of yourself and things. You've been
not really. I did Not Going Out with Lee Mack. That's the only thing I did.
Well, Murder and Successful sort of acting.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
That's fun. Yeah, I enjoyed that. I had to blow on Tom Davis's penis.
And that's how you got the job. But then what happened once you... it's great. You're quiet. It's amazing my mum didn't get the role. So you're sort of a more knowing and a slightly cooler celebrity than they usually have a sort of slightly naffer people on Murder.
I think the previous series they'd gone down the reality TV route.
Yeah.
But this one I think, you know, because they had Lorraine Kelly, they had Martin Kemp, Reggie Yates, I think, and Professor Green. I can't call him pro-green. I can't do that. I think they went for a slightly different... It's the most fun. I really love
that show. It's an amazing show.
Brilliant.
Again,
Davis
that's a show
great.
That you think, how the hell did anyone commission that show?
Yeah, really, with that one. But you really do. That's quite a tough sell.
It is.
Yeah.
You took it quite seriously. Did you get the correct murder at the end? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah.
You got it right, yeah.
They said, look, you're only the third person to guess the correct murderer, and you're the first person to guess the murderer for the right reason.
But like
I was obsessed. I was really looking for clues. I was thinking, oh yeah, hold on a minute. I was looking at receipts and all sorts of things.
Yeah,
I loved it.
I mean, given there's only three choices and there've been quite a lot of episodes, that defies statistical probability.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
But no, I was very proud of myself.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you. You've got to listen. Because I'm a producer and I've never asked to be on front of camera and all that kind of stuff. If I do something, I have to find a way of making it entertaining for me, right? Because I'm not doing it for, I think I'd like to show everyone how amazing I am and do blah, blah, blah. I sort of think, well, my kids love that show and I love Tom. Why will it be fun? And I thought, well, it would be fun to try and solve a murder.
Yeah.
And it was fun.
Yeah. It is. I love it. I think it's incredible.
And I got to fire a gun at the end.
Did you?
It wasn't a real gun.
Did you? Oh, you had to shoot the person who you thought was responsible.
Yeah.
I do remember it, yes. It's good.
Thanks.
What is the? This is a question you asked on Twitter that I think is a good emergency question.
Okay.
What is the most important thing you have unplugged to charge your phone?
But it, you know what? And the reason I asked that question is because it's obsessional.
Yeah.
I always think that, but like, you know those old cartoons you used to get of someone in the desert, like reaching an oasis, and they're like kind of like dried out, and they just, you know, they're close to death through, you know, through thirst. You would genuinely be, the first thing you would ask is there anywhere I can plug my iPhone in before you ask for water? But yeah, and everyone, as always on Twitter, if you ask something, everyone gives the same reply. So everyone goes, life support machine?
Yeah.
And you just look. Just look to see if someone else has said life support machine before you do.
Do you think anyone has unplugged a life support machine?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely people have been, you know, if you're in hospitals and stuff, sometimes you're there for a long time, and a lot of being in hospital is quite prosaic.
Yeah.
And you don't know what everything that is plugged in is. But if you're with someone who's clearly not at death's door,
yeah,
is not, you know, and something is plugged in, that's a piece of equipment. But you sort of think, well, they're not going to die if I just charge my phone.
I'm down to 5%.
And I have been here a long time. You know, and you just think, I think that they would be happier. I see them sleeping now. I think they'd be happier if I was playing Words with Friends. But yeah, I bet people in hospitals, I think people plug stuff in all the time.
Yeah. It's a problem, isn't it? You've got to basically find your own battery source that you can carry around with you. And I found quite a good one that lasts about 4 or 5 recharges, but it's pretty big. So it kind of means that you know, the mobility of the phone is slightly...
That's the one thing. In 50 years' time, they will laugh at us. They'll laugh at us for two things. One, you drove cars. That's mental. Yeah. That you were driving massive bits of metal at each other, really, really high speed, like belching stuff into the atmosphere, and you all knew it was killing everyone.
Yeah.
And two, what was this thing with batteries? Why did you not work out that X, Y, or Z? Oh, God, if I'd been able to end that sentence, I could have cured it. It would have been amazing.
What if
that's how we've done it? I just had to end that anecdote. But there were...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Gusco,
it could be putting a drifter in your anus. You don't know till you've tried. No one's tried it.
Do you reckon anybody has tried it?
I don't think anyone's tried it and then thought, I'll plug this into my phone and see if it charges it. I'm sure one has been in.
I bet no one's put a drifter in their anus. Do you think?
I think they definitely have. I think everything that could possibly go in an anus has gone into an anus.
A drifter.
There was a news story. This is what I was going to open with. I forgot about it. There was a news story in November about a Chinese man who had a live eel in his anus and had to have that removed.
Really?
How did that get up there? I mean, it'd be quite difficult, even if you were trying to get it out there. It's quite...
But it can't have been live for long.
Well, I mean, I think it'd swim around in there, can't it? If it can live in a river, it can live up there. It's a bit of moisture.
You think... Sorry, Justin.
Anything
that could live in a river could live in your anus?
In your anus, yeah, not on your anus.
What are you packing down there? What have you got down there, an oxbow lake?
There's lots of ways it could happen. It could have been like frozen in a snowdrift and a man skiing and he got caught on a tree and his pants came off and then he landed in the...
Yeah.
And then it would have thawed by the time he got to hospital in China.
There's
probably skiing in China. It's a big place.
They ski. I've been to China recently.
Have you skied in China?
Of course not. I've never skied anywhere.
Why did you go to China?
Oh, my daughter is studying Chinese.
Wow.
Yeah. So I went there a few times. I love it. Loved it. You know how we, as a nationality, we don't really care that other countries don't speak our language. We don't really care about other people's language.
Yeah.
Well, to know, well, look, honestly, English is the thing, and so we're speaking English. The Chinese are like that with everything, and I really like it. They're like, you know what? There's 1.5 billion of us. We honestly don't give a toss what you do, what you say, what you think. You are so welcome in our country, and welcome, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're not fussed about you. We don't find you interesting. We don't find you unique. You know, we've got a lot going on,
yeah.
And you don't fit into it. And I find that very refreshing.
They must have been fascinated with you. They might like just the height.
Oh yeah, they loved it. Well, my daughter was at 6 foot, and she when she came home, she said, "I'm really going to miss every single day, like walking down the street, endlessly being told I'm beautiful." She said, literally, non-stop, all day, every day. She's 6 foot. They're just everybody falling in love with her. Now she's in England. She's like, oh, this is such a disappointment.
Is that why you kept going back to China? Just I want one Chinese person to say I'm beautiful.
Yeah, not a thing for me.
Nothing.
No, I loved it, though.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
I'd recommend it.
Well, isn't it hard to get into China? Is it, you have to fill in some forms?
Oh, you had to get on a plane. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, you have to go onto Expedia. Yeah, so it is. Yeah, it's not. You can't just walk. We couldn't walk there now.
Really?
Yeah, from Leicester Square.
That's good to know. Good. I'm going to ask you some emergency questions from my book, Christmas Emergency Questions, available from Go Faster Stripe. If you order today, you'll be able to get it for Christmas.
What's the exact date today?
Well, today, I mean, it depends when people are watching.
It's the 20 something. I know that.
I think we might be actually just putting this out a little bit early because I read your book and I thought I want everyone to buy Richard Osman's amazing book and have time to order it from Amazon or similar delivery system, and so I think we're going out on the 17th of December.
So
early.
It's the 17th today.
Yeah, it is the 17th, so there's time to order this.
That means I'm a year older than I was, for example, on the 19th of November.
Okay. It's the 20th of November is today, it? Yeah, but it's, some people just want it to be International Men's Day every day, and that's just what you want. How old are you today? You're 49 in December.
Today, yeah. The 17th of December, yeah. I am 47.
47, hardly.
Yeah. Whereas
but
I knew
you were approaching your 50s.
I was 46. Oh, my brother just turned young. 50.
Because you wear a jacket, I think you have to be older than me. And
yeah,
then I find that that doesn't work. You have to kind of ask people what year they were born in.
Oh, yeah.
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 Just
so
the clothes they wear does not indicate it.
No, that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's the one question you have to ask to get people's star sign. The one thing that really is their date of birth.
It is.
It helps.
Question 126, if you're following at home. Is it cheating to have sex with the robot Santa Claus? I'm not saying that all of this is just the other questions with...
Is it cheating?
Is it cheating
on your
partner?
There is a lot to unwrap here.
If you're in a relationship and you had sex with a robot
Santa
Claus...
With a robot Santa Claus.
Would that be cheating?
Without your partner's knowledge...
I mean, that's not cheating, is it, if they don't know?
I think it's the other way around.
Isn't that right?
I think it's not cheating if they do know.
Yeah, sorry, no, that's what I meant, yeah.
I don't know if I would have sex with a robot. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Like, really?
Yeah, I think, listen, it's going to pass us by anyway. I don't think there's going to be as...
No, it's progressing fast. Did you see that man on this morning? I mean, it's some way to go for me, but it's closer.
You think?
It's closer than I imagined.
I think I could live without it.
Okay. We will see.
Yeah,
we'll
cut to. Cut to. I'm famously fucking a robot. Yeah, everyone knows that.
And people what,
the robot fucking guy? The guy who used to be on daytime telly fucked all those robots.
That's very rude, Heckle. So, do you think Christmas is celebrated on other planets?
Hmm.
Which ones, if you think it is?
Oh, which ones? That's a much more specific question. Well, I don't think it is.
No.
I imagine, clearly there are other planets there that that have life on it, and clearly there are planets that have other life with consciousness on them, just because of the numbers. And if there are, then there are planets which have consciousness, which have celebrations at particular times, and there may be one that coincides with... our celebration, and it's probably to do with a religious thing, and then probably their version of Coca-Cola made Santa's coat red. I would listen, statistically, everything that can possibly happen does happen, and if that's true, then everything that can happen does happen at least twice. So, yes.
It's true. Okay, good.
But I can't name the other planet.
Okay. That's a good idea for a sitcom, isn't it, that, what he just said? So, what he just said. I'll get a good one now. Hold on. Might take me a little while.
That was a good one.
Okay. This is a joke I used to do, but this is quite an interesting question. What became of the gold, frankincense, and myrrh? They're mentioned there at the beginning of the Bible, and we never hear about them again. To a humble biblical family like the Christs, wouldn't that have been the equivalent of a rollover lottery win? How come they still lived in relative poverty?
Well, the frankincense and myrrh, that you would use them up. I don't suppose there was.
Well,
they're not going to re-gift them. You know, I think they would say. But also, if you buy frankincense, you would say, oh, because if. Who bought them? Oh, the kings bought them, right?
Yeah.
If the kings are hanging around, which they probably would do because they've been a long. You know, it's a long old journey, so they'd probably stay over for the night. And during the evening, they would definitely go, oh, pop that frankincense on. You know that frankincense we bought you? Why don't you pop that on? And Mary would be going, oh, fuck, I didn't want to open it because I wanted to get that on eBay or whatever the version of eBay was back in those days. A market. I wanted to take that straight down the market. So that they would have used. And the myrrh, you know what myrrh is used for?
Yeah.
It's a drifter lubricant.
Yes.
But the gold, certainly that's the big mystery of the Bible, is what happened to
depends how much it
Joseph's
was,
gold.
Depends how
it would
not.
Have been a fair amount. I mean, this is the Son of God we're talking about. You wouldn't kind of just bring like a little bracelet or something. No. You know, you'd bring a lot of gold.
It's true, isn't it? I wonder where that would siphon that off.
I wonder who nicked that.
Yeah.
Somebody. You know who nicked it? One of the shepherds. You know what shepherds are like. They're not listening to this. They're thieves. Every one of them are thieves.
We have a lot of shepherd fans. I'll ask
you. Yeah, but they're not paying you anything.
That's okay. Here we go. In the song The 12 Days of Christmas, there's a lot about the 12 Days of Christmas in this, and Muppet Christmas Carol. It's mainly that. In the song The 12 Days of Christmas, do you think that along with the 8 maids of milking, the true love received 8 cows, or do you think she was expected to provide the cattle from her own pocket? Because that severely devalues the gift. But if the cows are included, that actually means she got 16 things that day, thus ruining the song.
Well, I don't know, because you could argue that the drummers also had drums.
Yeah.
You know, you can argue that, you know, the lords were leaping over something.
Yeah.
I would say, do you know if you add together all of the presents in that story, across all the days, it's 365.
Oh.
Yeah, like the days in a year.
Wow.
How about that? I may have made that up. I think it's true, though. It doesn't sound true. No, actually, no. That kind of works.
Is that adding?
Yeah, one and then three and then six and then 10 and then 15 and
someone
so
get
on.
Your calculator, David. You can work that. He's a nuclear physicist. He's done
no
that
way.
In his head. You must be able to have to add up stuff like the 12 days of Christmas every day. No, got calculators.
Yeah, three. I think it's 365. It's like if you add together all of the Roman numerals, it comes to 1666. You can have that as well.
It comes to infinity, I think. You add all of them together.
No, because there's only once each.
Okay, once each.
Not like endlessly. Okay. That would be infinity. I can confirm that.
There's some non-Christmas ones in here as well.
Have you ever hidden in
a Zed bed?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Take a wild guess.
You weren't always this big.
It'd have to be a capital Z.
Have you ever had anything removed from your body? That's a question that I'm sure you have.
I don't. Oh, I've got some cartilage from my knee. That's about it. That's not that interesting, is it? But yeah, that's it. That's all. But every time you have a haircut, really, it's mutilation, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very weird. We seem to think that's all right, or cutting our fingernails and stuff. Yeah. And then as soon as it's something, you know, like internal, we're like, oh, I better go to hospital. You think you're so casual about it. Like you have a shave every morning.
Yeah.
You're thinking that's just as kind of invasive as having your appendix out. But you don't get a surgeon in to you know, unless you're Xander, to give you a shave.
Yeah. And you throw away your hair, don't you? And then a lot of these guys here were ruined the day they did that, thinking, why? Just threw that hair away. Look at them now.
Oh, could have kept it.
No hair at all.
Some people must. I bet some people keep all of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know that some people do.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? There'd be a lot of it. You've got a lot of hair.
I've got a lot of hair.
It grows quickly, right?
It grows very fast.
Yeah, imagine you kept all of that.
I wish I had now.
Oh, what I wished you'd have a room full of it.
What I wished I'd done is taken a photo of every haircut as I was having it done. I wish I'd done that all through my whole life and then put it on a wall somewhere.
Oh, no, but you'd put it on Facebook and someone would go, amazing, this guy took a picture of every haircut he ever put. Oh, God, really?
I've got a question for you. You grew up in Haywards Heath.
Mm-hmm. Who is this your, in your book?
Yeah. Who's no, your? No, this is my regular.
Because that's really magic. Niche. That's a really niche book. It is.
It's in back in my regular book. What is the most famous person? Who's your favourite famous person who came from Haywards
Oh,
Heath?
Goodness, I don't think there are any. I mean, literally, it's honestly, it's a town, because, you know, I'm interested in famous people. I always was. I don't think there's a single famous person. No one famous went to my school. That's definitely true. No, not at all. Maybe like my brother.
Your brother and Brett Anderson.
And Brett Anderson, yeah, that's probably about it. I don't think anyone famous came from there.
I meant to bring my computer on, but there was a lot of... every single celebrity mentioned, I'll try and get on Wikipedia, had citation needed after them. So I was gonna spend a lot of the interview asking you about that, and now I'm
yeah,
just going to do it myself.
It doesn't, for some reason, breed celebrity, a sleepy little commuter town.
Haywards Heath, etymology... Do you know where it came from?
They say it came from a highwayman, but I suspect it didn't. They say he used to roam the heath.
Okay.
Probably a dogger.
Might be
he used to roam the car park at the heath.
Might be Nick Hayward. Right, here we go. Did you ever go to the town day celebrated in early September, including fireworks at Victoria Park?
No, I know Vicky Park, but I don't... Yeah.
I think that's too close to bonfire night to have another firework-based celebration.
It's 2 months away. Come on.
I think it's too close. I think fireworks are bad. Fireworks are bad.
Yeah,
I went to
with
fireworks
that.
With my daughter who didn't like it.
And no, of course they're awful.
Okay, here are all the people that need, and every single one has citation needed, which is I've never seen. Jim Parkes, the former
cricketer.
England and Sussex cricketer. Citation yeah. needed. Do you
He's
see him
a
around?
Wicketkeeper.
He was born in 1931, so he might not have been there. Richard Osman, second. Citation
hey, yeah.
needed.
Okay. Just citation needed. Yeah. That's been said before.
Sam Cowan. The Manchester City and England footballer died in Haywards Heath in 1964.
He's not the only one.
Matthew Bowes, who plays Paul Lambert in ITV1's Emmerdale, grew up in Haywards Heath and attended Haywards Heath Sixth Form College.
Really?
Professor,
I went to Haywards Heath Sixth Form College. Bowsey.
He must have been around your time.
Bowsey, MB.
Professor Philip Payton, the historian and writer, attended Haywards Heath Grammar School.
This is a terrible town I come from, isn't it?
Professor Sir Jack E. Baldwin, the organic chemist. Citation needed. Every single one, citation needed. Brett Anderson, definitely. Matt Osman.
Yeah, I know he was there.
The bassist.
I sort of very near him.
Okay. Lawrence Osborne. The novelist and writer, citation needed.
Oh, I'm thinking of, who am I thinking of? Lawrence Fishburne, I'm thinking of.
You'd have seen him.
I thought I would have remembered.
I mean,
that.
There's loads. It goes at Greta Scacchi.
Oh, yeah, Greta Scacchi. My mum once taught Greta Scacchi at Haworth Primary School.
Yeah.
There you go. She's famous.
How's she in Haywards Heath? I thought she was from Italy or something.
Yeah, you would think so, right? Yeah. I don't think she was there for long.
Okay.
I think a lot of people move out.
Bross went to my school.
No.
Yeah, but only for a year.
Both of them?
Both the twins went to my school, yeah.
Wow.
They both got off with Bridget Seeley, who I fancied.
Oh, and, you're kidding. Yeah. But they both got off with someone who you... Hold on a minute. How old are you?
I'm 50. I'm two. They're both...
And how old are Bross?
They're 48, I think.
Oh, are they?
They were 2 years below us.
I was thinking
they're
like kind of 26 or something still.
Yeah, because they were famous when they were young and that. So how can they be old?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Anna Sewell, the writer of Black Beauty, lived in New England Road.
Did she?
Yeah, that's a proper famous person.
Yeah, okay.
You had a lot of choices. It's almost like you never lived in Haywards Heath and have pretended to show off to people.
That would be a weird thing to pretend, wouldn't it?
It would.
That really would. But me, Haywards Heath.
So you have got two kids who are both teenagers, nearly grown up. Up adults.
19
and I've got
17.
Two children who are very small. And I was wondering what you thought. I kind of trying to work out whether it's best to remain single until you're about 40 and then have kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best. That's definitely not best because you have kids when you're old and it's hard. Or is it better? You've had your kids quite young and they've grown up and now you're a single man about town as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. No, it's great. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's certainly, I think it's the right way around to do it.
Do you think so?
Yeah, well, I think so because I think if you're single in your 20s as a man, women still have, you know, you're still an idiot.
Yes.
You know, whereas in your 40s, I think there are fewer kind of nice, kind, funny men in their 40s who aren't married to somebody or desperately trying not to be married to somebody. So I think it's probably better in your 40s than in your 20s. I think your 20s is quite.
I mean, it's
a grim
hard
time
to look
single.
After kids when you're old, but then it's kind of hard when you're young as well because it's quite a responsibility.
It's really hard, but it's much easier than when you're old. And also you get to the point where they are old, which is amazing. I mean, honestly, yeah. It's like they're not at home. You think, and when they are at home, they get up at like 1 p.m. or something. Yeah. Oh my God, it's just a joy.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Such a joy. If I think back to the, you know, because people, you know, I have been in relationships where people have wanted kids, and you genuinely have to say, I just can't, I just haven't done 18 years of it. I don't think I could put myself through it again. The novelty is what gets you through.
Yeah.
And to do 18 years, if I started again now, I'd do 36 years. That's like half of my life bringing up children.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, you know, I love them, but come on.
I'm kind of thinking if I can die in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. If you die in the next couple of years, you have absolutely got away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they'll be quite cute, but they won't remember me. It won't be a big deal.
Yeah, it'll be absolutely fine. The grief will be fine. And everyone will just go, oh, yeah, I knew your dad. He was, what a great guy. Honestly, he's a really, really good guy. Yeah. And he loved you so much.
That's true. That's my plan. But you've had, people have proposed to you on Twitter. I mean, you are the, you know, you were the Heat Magazine Weirdest Crush in 2011.
I was second last year as well.
Were you? Wow. Who beat you?
Someone from EastEnders. Oh, right. I didn't know.
Dirty Den.
Yeah, Dirty Den. I think it was Barry from EastEnders.
Really?
Something like that.
He's very good at Pointless, isn't he?
He's brilliant at Pointless, and a lovely fella.
Yeah. But you've had people propose to you on Twitter.
But I think everyone has. I don't think anyone seriously thought, okay, my objective is I would like to marry this guy. I know how to deal with this. I will ask him if he'll marry me. People, by and large, actually usually say, would you marry my mum? That's what... you're one of the few people who has not said that. for obvious reasons. So, you know, you'd always get kind of... 20-year-olds saying, you know, you'd be perfect for my mum. Oh, that's so sweet.
Did you turn up?
I turned up with a bunch of flowers. I've married a couple of them.
Some people talk, like Gary Newman married the president of his own fan club.
Yes, he
did.
That's
a bit. That's got to be.
Well, the even weirder thing is Gary Newman is older than Gary Oldman. That blows your mind more than this other planet, right?
Do you think you could do, like, World Cup of Things? I think it could be expanded out. Would you ever do one of the worst? Because I think that might be interesting, the World Cup of the worst. Because you're the best animal. What would be the worst animal?
The worst animal. Well, yeah, well, I guess you could do it the other way around very easily with things like that. Yeah, the worst animal. Best animal, I've just done a big book tour, and that's one of the ones we do. I get loads of kids up on stage, and we vote on that. We do all of those competitions. Dog wins surprisingly. I always sort of assumed that dog would win all the time, but like hedgehogs and stuff like that win. Meerkat has yet to. I always assumed meerkat would win, but it doesn't. Yeah, what's so the worst?
I mean,
it's animal.
When you're given a choice between, like, I think it was a hamster or a tiger. I mean, that's quite hard. That's quite. You've not really thought about that before. That's quite a hard choice to make.
Listen, you've just done an entire book of questions.
But it's quite a hard choice to make. So it's. That's
I don't
gonna be
think
quite
it is because I would go tiger.
Yeah, I would. I would have thought tiger would win every time for the whole thing. But
so it turns out it was an easy one.
Yeah, of course. But the whole competition, that'd be for me. But I think you don't really think about animals. What's the worst animal?
The worst animal.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think a crocodile has a lot to commend it.
Wow, come on, they've survived all this time.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. But, so, you know... So,
they can climb trees, I read the other day.
Oh, come on, that's the last thing I need to hear. I was like that with tigers. I watched a documentary where a tiger climbed a tree. Yeah. I thought, genuinely, it's the only thing I would do if I saw a tiger is climb a tree.
Yeah.
And now I can't even do that.
Don't
it's taken
do that.
That away from me. But really, crocodiles have very... They're not cute.
No.
Not particularly tasty. And they'll kill you.
They do kill lots of people.
You know, that's not good, is it?
No.
They got very little to commend them. I say in the book, I was talking about cows, and say cows have the unique distinction of being really tasty and not cute. And that's so unfortunate for them. Because, I mean, that's like the worst thing you can be, right?
Yeah.
Because we don't eat, you know, penguin, and it's because they're cute.
I mean, you do eat penguins, so don't you? That is the thing.
Oh, penguins. We eat penguins. Yeah, that's different.
I can only think of chocolate bars. What I think, can you do World Cups of STDs and things like that? Would you think of doing that?
I guess you could do. Yeah. I'm not sure how you'd be judging it particularly.
Well, you'd have to get all the STDs.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
I know someone you can ask about.
think you should do it. I think you definitely should do it. Do you like Suede, the band Suede?
I'm a fan of their work. I've certainly seen them a lot.
You like music a lot because if you go on your IMD page, they have like quotes, lots of people's quotes, and all your quotes are, I really like Wichita Lineman, and there's all these quotes that are just what bands you like.
What, presumably from Pointless or something.
I guess, I don't know.
Yeah. Whether we're on Pointless with your music or film, I always say if I think a film is good or TV, I always think that's quite nice. And then people tweet me and say, oh, I watched that film because you said it and it was good. But I kind of like music.
Yeah.
But as I get older and older, I realise I like it less than some other people. But some people really like music, don't they?
They do, yeah.
I always assumed I did. I like comedy.
That's what I've always liked. I don't
comedy
really like
and
music.
Telly. Music, I'm like, I like a good song, but I would never go and see a gig. Oh, kill me. They go on so long. Literally, I was talking to someone, the writer Dan Schweimer said, 8 songs. That's the most you should ever do in a gig. And honestly, if a band came off after half an hour, I would say, thank you. Thank you so much, Kasabian, for saving me all that time. When people go, we went to see Springsteen, he did 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
I mean,
most things are too long. I mean, imagine if we like did 2 of these in a week. That'd be too much to sit through, wouldn't it? It's one of them's long, isn't it? It's been going for about an hour. It's amazing.
I'm so sorry. But yes, I'm not. Yeah, I don't.
No,
like
I don't
gigs.
Really. But you like.
People worked out 10 years ago that going to comedy is more fun than going to concerts. They worked. I do like Suede. I'm a big fan. I'm a very, very big fan.
Yeah.
And whenever I watch them, I'm very, very proud of my brother as well. It's lovely. It's lovely to see him.
Was like he? He must have been famous before you were famous.
Yeah. So that was in my
was
early
that weird
20s
having...
when I was at university.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I mean, because for 3 or 4 years they were like the biggest. I mean, they were huge.
Yeah.
No, it's fantastic. I mean, it was just a joy. And you know, you get to go around the world and see them play, and get to go to festivals, and you know, you get backstage passes to things, which when you're 20 is amazing. I remember being at Benny Cassin outside. It wasn't Benny Cassin, but it was some festival just outside Barcelona, and I'm standing on the side of the stage next to David Bowie watching them. And you think, well, I mean, that's quite nice. It's not an opportunity I would have had, but he's the loveliest man as well. So I'm very proud of him.
David Bowie or your brother?
My brother. Okay. Bowie, I can live without.
Okay. He had his moment. Would you have liked to have been in a rock band?
No.
No.
And that's why it's lovely. That's why, because there was never like an ounce of jealousy. But I just couldn't. I'm just not quite. I'm the least cool person in the world. He was always cool. All of him and Brett, all of them. I remember being in Barcelona. I'm walking this beautiful, the Ramblas in Barcelona. It's so colourful and, you know, it's flowers everywhere and this bright sunshine. And then suddenly there's these 5 people entirely clad in black. Entirely, sunglasses, just heavy black clothes, and of course it's Suede walking down the middle of the Ramblas. You just think, how can you be that cool? You know, so I've never had a cool gene. He got every single bit of cool in the family.
Yeah, but who's laughing now? You're doing Pointless. So who's laughing?
Who's cool now? Right?
Yeah. Does he get to come and stand out backstage in Pointless? And
well, he comes actually. Funny enough, if I, you know, when I do like Have I Got This For You and stuff like that, he comes down and brings people. So it's quite nice. Yeah. That's a bit of quid pro quo.
Yeah,
but no, he's still cool. They're all still cool. I think if you do a lot of heroin in your 20s, you stay. There's something about it that preserves everything. They're all like, they're all whippet thin. They look great. You know, they're all. It's like amazing. It's like they were. It's like they're preserved.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, a little bit of advice for any youngsters at home from Richard Osman. I can't see that. A little bit of Christmas advice.
I personally, and on behalf of the BBC, I don't condone taking heroin.
Were you ever into? I mean, no, you don't have to answer this, but I was never into taking drugs.
Not really. I'm a really good drunk. And I think if you're a good drunk, I don't know why you need anything else. You know, booze is so available and cheap, and you don't have to go to some dodgy estate in Dalston to get it. You can literally get it at the end of your road. And it's like, you just think, whatever people say about other drugs, you just think, I don't think it is better than this. This is like, I'm so happy. And I feel entertained. I'm endlessly entertained. I know when to stop. I know when to start. I've got complete control over it. I don't know if I've got room for another drug beyond alcohol in my life.
Do you, I started getting very bad hangovers in my 30s and 40s, but now I don't get them anymore. I drink. I've started drinking loads again, and it's brilliant. I think it's because I've got kids, and so you're tired anyway, and so you
I
don't
think
really
also
tell.
Sometimes if you drink, sometimes maybe you're at a nice restaurant,
yeah,
and you're drinking better booze. So no, maybe no, you just got richer. Oh, really? You're still
drinking
sitting on Shepherd's Bush Green, drinking Thunderbirds. Yeah.
I mean, in a way, it's irresponsible to get drunk when you're looking after two tiny children, but
I would say, yeah,
just have to hope nothing happens. Yeah. When I live in the middle of the countryside, you know, if anything, I just think, what if there was an accident now?
Yeah, but you know what? Imagine doing it sober. Oh, my God.
It would be awful.
Yeah, it would be awful.
Too much.
It's unthinkable.
I'll ask some of my new emergency questions. One of my new emergency questions is, what's the worst animal? And that was before I... have you ever fallen downstairs?
Ooh,
talking of being drunk.
That's a good question. I don't think I have, but I fell over the other day.
Oh, yeah.
And that's for like the first time in about 10 years.
Right.
I was walking, because it's slippy these days, because of the leaves, and I was walking back from the gym, I properly fell over. And even as I was falling, I knew I was going to be okay.
Okay.
But even as I was falling, I thought, goodness me, I haven't fallen over for a long time, have you? And I hit the ground. And it was one of those things where it would have been absolutely perfect, I mean, but there was someone on the other side of the road. You think, oh, that's the last thing I need. She was very concerned. I said, no, honestly, I'm fine. But yeah, God, it was a real experience.
I mean, when you fall over, it must be hard. Yeah. It must be a hard fall.
I mean, I fall further down than almost anybody.
Okay, what is... who is your favourite Quaker?
That's a good question.
I think it is.
Charlie Brooker.
Is he a Quaker?
His parents were Quakers.
Were they?
Yeah. He's the only Quaker I know, is the truth.
I like the one off the oats.
I guess so. I like Shaken Stevens.
Yeah.
I like him.
Is he a Quaker or is he just quaking?
Well, Quaking and shaken are very similar.
They are similar.
They are very similar things, aren't they?
Okay.
In an earthquake, you shake. Right?
You do.
You're not saying, oh, I was really quaking. You would say I was shaken. So yeah. I think they're interchangeable.
Shaken Stevens, if you ever asked on Pointless who got a name of a solo artist who got a number one in the 1980s, Shaken Stevens would have been a very good answer. Think about that every day. can't believe. Shaken Stevens, who was the most popular artist in the 1980s, 0 points on Pointless.
I know. He came on and sang Merry Christmas, Everyone, on last year's Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Very lovely it was. He's a really nice fella.
Yeah.
I'm feeling so Christmassy. It's nice, isn't it?
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because backstage, coming on right now...
Oh, here he is.
It's Brian Ferry. He did not get a solo number one in the 1980s. Or at all. I'm over it.
It's only X more days till Christmas.
Or if you're watching this at a later date, till the next one.
Well, it's still only X more days, isn't it? It must be like 341.
Okay, I think this is going to be a good question to end on, and you have an amazing anecdote to go with this.
Okay.
What do you most regret destroying with fire?
Well, that is, goodness me. Well, I would have to say, I don't know if anyone else has said this, I'd have to say Windsor Castle. I just... You know, it's fun to watch the flames in it and see it, but actually, the next morning, I was a bit, oh, mate, that's a bit much.
Yeah, it was a bit much. There's a drawing. My daughter, who claims she drew the Muppets, that's an example of a drawing. That's something she drew.
She's got something there. It's interesting to think if your daughter, who's 2 3/4, had been on Pointless Celebrity, she would not have done worse than you. But isn't that weird? Statistically, she would have gone out at pretty much the same point.
Yeah, it's not fair. I'm very good at Pointless.
No, I know you are.
That's why, good.
But you know what? That's the only reason it's funny.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you were thick, it would not be funny at all. It'd just be like, he comes, he's fine. He's fun to have on, but, he's never going to do well. The fact that you are clearly capable of winning a Pointless trophy, but it is eluding you for a number of different reasons. You know, it's like any great hero's quest, isn't it? The obstacles put in your way. You're like Indiana Jones and the Pointless trophy.
It is. Well, getting closer and closer, and then the last against Wolfie from Citizen Smith. There was 2 points in the final question. It's just like I thought. They've definitely beaten us. And then it came. It was coming down. Going, maybe I'm gonna.
You see, I fucking love this.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you actually in control of where it ends up?
Oh, imagine if I was.
Just got a little one. I'm just going to decide who wins, like a kind of pointless god.
I just keep you on a string like a year, like 30 years. you keep coming back.
It would ruin it if I'd won it. So, you know.
Yeah.
You're allowed to come back if you've won. Do you have people back?
Yeah. Oh. People have won a couple of times.
Mm. It's a lot of pressure on me for next time if there is a next. You know, if the series carries on, there's no guarantee.
Yes, listen.
There's no guarantee.
I'm very aware of that. I would love for you to win it before either A, the show gets cancelled, or B, you die. Whichever happens.
I think it will outlive me. I think Pointless will outlive me.
I'm willing to bet you that it won't. I'm willing to have like a Deadpool bet of £20 that you live longer than Pointless.
Okay. I'll take that bet. Don't think I can win that bet. I'm not sure. So, ladies and gentlemen, will you please give a massive round of applause? It's Richard Osman!
Thank you.
Thank you. Happy Christmas! Have a lovely
Christmas,
everybody. Buy his book. It's genuinely amazing. Buy his book. You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Richard Osman. The music you are listening to is, as always, by Pest. Thank you to everyone at Leicester Square Theatre. Thank you to everyone at Go Faster Strike, especially Chris Evans, not that one. Thank you to everyone at Ian Tunes' Hat Shop and the British Comedy Guide. I am indebted to my producer, Ben Walker. It's a Sky Potato Fuzz and GoFasterStrike.com production. I hope you have enjoyed it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.